The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. Join the conversation. It's open phones here for the next 20 minutes or so. All sorts of things in play this morning, including, I know that there's a brouhaha online with social media when it comes to the shifting of Officer Doney back to patrol out of South Medford, being the school police officer. And I really wish we just call them police officers instead of resource officers. But I'm looking at comment after comment after comment after comment, and the claim is that the that South Medford High School, Brett Champion, and various other people are involved in some skullduggery. And the police department and the school district are coming out and saying there's nothing to this, and this is just a normal part of, you know, people rotate in and out of position. So he gets rotated back. But apparently people loved Officer Doney. And I'm seeing, post after post after post. But all I'm saying is, what is the evidence that there is something untoward? Maybe there is something untoward, but I'm just concerned that the way it's been explained to me, and I have three police officers in my family, in my extended family, and it's been pretty known to me that sometimes people just rotate in and out of different positions. And even if they love the guy and love the job that has been done, it's not as if the school owns that officer. But I guess the claim is that maybe Brett Champion, and you know, the superintendent, is not doing such a great job as trying to cover up something. Well, if you want to weigh in and maybe explain to me what the brouhaha is about, because I know that they liked him, but it's like, so you can like someone else in there. Maybe I don't understand it. And frankly, if there are that many problems at South Medford High School, why is your kid still going to it, I guess would be the question I would raise here. But if anybody has a bead on what they think the real problem is, I see a lot of people that are throwing a lot of stuff up there. Oh, they're hiding something. Okay, well, what are they hiding? What are they hiding? And if you know, I'll be happy to let you speak on this. 770-563-3770-KMED. All right? And if this is something which is bugging you with them, rotating Officer Doney out of that and back into patrol, is he that good? Nobody can take that place? I don't know. Maybe you want to give somebody else a chance to do this? Personal problem between the officer and the superintendent? I mean, could be. I don't know. I don't know either of them, really. It's 14 minutes after 7. We can talk about that and anything else on your mind, too. 770-5633, okay? Another number you need to keep in mind, 261-5444. 261-5444. Eric and I were talking about the incredible increase in the cost of insurance. Fortunately, there is someone here to at least help you out in that matter, and that's Steve Yancey at Sky Park Insurance. I've been saving money with him on homeowners and car insurance. I find it interesting. You know, I'll get these advertisements that are saying, hey, Bill, we can get you, looking at your driver's record, we can get you car insurance for as low as $100 a month is what they were saying, right? And I'm thinking, I'm already paying $125 a month for two drivers and three cars, three vehicles, and $125 a month. You know, it's like, come on, what are you doing, Flo? You're not fooling me. But anyway, Steve deals with all of the big insurance companies, and he'll find the one that works best for you. Call him at 261-5444. Having trouble with property insurance, a lot of people are, he can go to work with you on this. Give him a shot, and many people have found great service with him. 261-5444 or skyparkins.com. Steve Yancey at Sky Park Insurance.
At Sky Park, we make insurance easy.
This hour of the Bill Myers Show is proudly sponsored by Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros and Full Service Auto Repair.
770-KMED. Here's Bill Myers.
Is it just a transfer or not? I'm going to pose the question here this morning, and lots of people are angry, apparently, at the Medford School District 549C over the transfer of Officer Josh Doney back to patrol rather than being the school cop, the school resource officer for South Medford High School. And explain to me why you're so upset, because a lot of rumors have been going out there. It was on the scanner page, it's on Facebook, and people are peppering the police department and the school district about this. If you know something about it, let me know. I don't have a dog in the fight. Don't have any kids in that district. In fact, I would dare say, I would wonder why we even sit around here and tap dance about the public school districts here in Southern Oregon. We're number 45. We're number 45. We're number 45, right? And yet we're told all we have to do is just send more money. Then it will fix it. But if, does somebody really think that, it seems like people really think there's something that is suspicious going on. And if there is, let me know. Give me your opinion about it. Because like I said, I'm kind of taking what the school district and the police department are saying at face value, that Josh Doney is just being rotated back in. Tell me what you know or what you think you know, all right? And we'll see. I'm willing to be wrong about that. Maybe I'll say, okay, I get the release from the city. It seems reasonable. It seems reasonable. And if there is something which is a personal problem between Brett Champion and Officer Josh Doney, that's okay. You can have that difference of opinion. You can have a difference of opinion, and maybe you don't work well with someone, even if the kids love this person. It's the call of the superintendent, you know? That's their job. They make that call. But anyway, I don't know. Is it much to do about nothing, or is it a real thing? 770-5633. We can talk about that or anything else on your mind on the Bill Myers Show, all right? Let me go to Francine. Francine, you've been holding on a few minutes, and you wanted to weigh in on some conversation we were talking last hour about the Trump assassination attempt. Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Well, there's, you know, Lou Rockwell has quite a few different articles, and one of them was by Gary D. Barnett. In fact, I went to his Substack, and he's got about three or so really interesting articles, and he is just ripping Trump a new one. And he feels
that he doesn't appear to be a fan of Trump. And I noticed that with Gary Barnett.
Not at all. But a lot of the things he says make a lot of good sense, you know. And I haven't been able to. I haven't decided what I really think. I know. I know it's all very fishy. But I haven't made a complete decision on this yet. I'm just waiting to hear more information.
Now, is this a decision on the assassination attempt or something else?
Yeah. I know it's not right. Whatever they're telling us is not true. But how it came about, you know, who's behind it, you know. For example, why would the deep state, three alphabet agencies who are all working pretty much for the far left, you can't trust them, and everybody knows that, you know, everybody who thinks for themselves. But the narrative, I'm going to make a quote here. James Scott, the senior fellow from the Center for Cyber Influence Operations Studies, he said, the narrative illusion introduces a mind virus, which is a syntactical contagion that spreads through the communicative vectors and colonizes the cognitive biases of the targeted individual psychology, thus transforming the mental processes of that target. And that's what's being done to us right now. Now, I've given some thought to this, and even though it's not Conspiracy Theory Thursday, I'm going to call this Warning Wednesday.
I'm thinking that we're getting to the point where the news is such that maybe every day is a Conspiracy Theory Thursday.
It
makes more sense out of than what we're being fed, especially through national media sources. But please continue.
Okay. So here's a possible theory. So people would wonder why Trump would set himself up to be a target. Well, we don't know that there was really a bullet or any of that stuff. We don't have any proof that there was or wasn't, you know.
I think that's nonsense, though.
Well, it's hard to say, you know.
No, it's not hard to say.
It's not hard to say
because real people died that day. I'm not going down this Alex Jones and that we had crisis actors out there. I'm not saying that they are. Okay.
But, okay. Well, another day we're going to have a conversation about crisis actors, but today I'm going to stick to this.
Okay.
And if Trump was, wanting to boost himself, which at first I thought was absurd because he was so far in the lead, but with the looming dropping out of Joe Biden or removal of Joe Biden, and him not knowing how things are going to go and who he's going to be up against for sure, there's a possibility that he did this to really boost himself. I mean, I'm just
so are you one of those people? Are you one of the people, Vander, thinking that Trump squeezed a bottle of blood up into his ear, like Lucretia would always send me like 50 articles a day, you know, on that?
Bill, I'm one of these people that don't rule it out because we don't know. We think we know, and we think what makes common sense because we're most of us are sensible people.
Yeah,
but we don't think like these people.
All right, that's an interesting theory, but I can't even. I can't be prepared to quite go to that level of cynicism quite yet. Maybe
I'm not saying this is what I think happened. I'm just saying we don't know, and it's a possibility.
Okay, well, everything's a possibility, and for all we know, that could have been an alien. It's possible that he could have been an alien on the stage pretending to be Trump, and you know, and maybe just an automatronic robot that was never in danger. Even if the bullet had struck the head, he would have been okay. It would have been okay.
Well, I suggest people read.
It's possible. Possible.
Go to Gary Barnett's Substack, and there's three articles that are very thought-provoking.
All right. Thank you very much, Francine. 770-5633. Let me go to the next line here on the open phone segment. Good morning. Hi, who's this? Welcome.
Good morning, Bill. Michael Shaw. How are you today?
I'm well, Michael. What are you thinking?
Well, I sent you a quick picture yesterday of the list of people who are running for governor in the state of Washington, as Governor Inslee has chosen not to run. Mm-hmm. So we've got 28 candidates up here.
28?
28 of them. Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's like, who knows what the heck's going on. But the thought crossed my mind, and this is where it applies to most of your audience, is since Inslee is not running up here anymore, that sort of leaves them open to be a VP pick for Harris.
Hmm. Mark Roberts is reported to be the one who is the inside choice. At least that's what I've been seeing reports. But Inslee, boy, Inslee would be a progressive god for Kamala. Oh, you know?
Yeah, with Inslee on the ticket, it would absolutely secure the West Coast.
Oh, yeah. Well, you don't think there's any chance of the West Coast not going for the Dems anyway, don't you think?
Well, there's the probability is that they're still going Democratic, but there's a lot of them that aren't happy with Harris and her baggage that comes with it. I'm not saying that they would vote for Trump.
Right.
But there's not a lot of strong ultra must-have support because there's all sorts of those out of Silicon Valley who don't like Harris.
So maybe there's enough weakness in there that Trump could actually be in play on a West Coast state or two?
Well, and not that they would vote for him, but they may lessen their support for her, which could give him a point or two leg up.
Got it.
But, yeah, it just sort of crossed my mind because we do not have term limits on governors up here, and he's been in there for three terms. But it just sort of fits that he's that progressive left sort of individual that would secure more of the West Coast.
And remember, he's the governor that pretty much lied through his teeth about, oh, yes, our carbon policy is not raising the price of fuels. It's not doing that at all. And then, of course, it raised the price of fuels, 40, 50 cents a gallon?
Oh, yeah.
Easily,
right? You know, between he had, Newsom out of California and all the wonderful fun that Oregon has had to endure, and then Inslee up here, it was a trifecta, you know, that secured the wonderfulness of this side of the country into, we'll just call it Garbage Hill.
Garbage Hill.
Well, you know, we can just take pictures of San Francisco, Seattle, Portland, and L.A. and prove that. So it just sort of crossed my mind. Not saying that it's a probability. I'm just saying
a possibility. Just like Francine, we're talking about we're talking about possibilities. All right, I like that. Of course, there's also a possibility that, Kamala Harris is way more progressive than Joe Biden. You would agree with me on that. I mean,
absolutely.
Yeah, Joe just pretended. So this is like, this is like you take Joe and you mix him with Bernie and put a cackle on it, and then you got Kamala. And you got to figure that, and she's quite open about it, too. So I saw one person quipped, maybe it could be like, Harris, 2024. I'm progressive. Yeah, I'm dumb, but I'm honest about it. What do you think about that for a slogan, huh?
Oh, well, yeah.
I'm honest about it. Yeah, we're honest about it. Thanks, Michael. Let me go to the next line. Hi, KMED and KBXG. This is Bill. Who's this?
Tom.
Hello, Tom. What's on your mind today?
Yeah, I want to come back to the assassination attempt on Trump there.
Sure.
Have they, did the bullet that pierced his ear there, or grazed his ear, strike anybody? He was, and have they retrieved the bullet?
I don't believe they have. I don't think it was embedded into anybody. And gosh, who knows where it might have ended up, something like that. You know, when you have something going to 2,500 feet per second, and even if it goes through the president and zings off of something, that'd be a tough one to find. That's definitely the needle in the haystack thing, unless it went into a wall, right?
You'd think they'd make an attempt to find it, but judging what happened there, maybe they wouldn't even attempt to find it. Or if it did go into somebody, if they'd even bother to retrieve it from the wound of the next person that was struck. I don't know.
I don't know the answer to that. having gone out there and, you know, most of the time, trying to find the bullet unless it embeds in something could be a pretty tough thing. And there'd even be enough energy, I would imagine, had it hit the ground, it would bury into the, well, of course, you know, you might see the disturbance of the soil and then the furrow, possibly. That's a really interesting question. I can't answer that, though. I can't, Tom. That's interesting.
I'm very disappointed, though. It's like a Keystone Cops operation. You know, the minutes that went by, a couple of hours, in fact, after the guy, you'd have thought they would have assigned an officer.
Sure.
Trail the guy and keep an eye on him. Or they have so many suspicious characters that, no, I don't think so.
Yeah, the newer reports coming in, though, are indicating that they had an eye on this guy, on Crooks.
Yes.
For up to an hour prior to it. They knew that there was a threat. I mean, the police, local police, realized that there was a suspicious threat, and yet the rally was allowed to continue without having, well, relieved any concern about a threat going on, which is, see, that strikes me as real odd, too. I'd imagine it would bug you.
It disgusts me. I'm totally disgusted.
Yeah. Thanks for the call, Tom. And we can talk about that and more. 770-5633. A little more open phone before Senator Linthicum joins the show, too. This is the Bill Meyer Show.
1954, 70 years ago, Dwight D. Eisenhower's president. The number five song of the day, Rosemary Clooney's Hey There. Meantime, store number five for Grover was next to open. Grover Electric and Plumbing in Nampa, Idaho, welcoming do-it-yourselfers and contractors with a promise of superior service, quality products, and everyday low prices. Grover celebrates 70 years of do-it-yourself and save. For a location near you, visit groverelectric.com.
One of each, Forte VIN 800413 MSRP 21645, Sol VIN 918111 MSRP 21865, 3699 due 10K miles per year, zero security deposit, all incentives and discounts to dealer, plus tax, title, license, 150 registration, processing fee. Trading in a vehicle will not eliminate your debt. Negative equity applied to new loan balance, N 73124.
The summer of savings is here with new Kias from $139 a month at Kia Medford. Now is the best time to get into a new Kia. Shop our huge selection and save. Get a new 2024 Kia Forte LXS for a new 2024 Kia Soul LX, just $139 a month lease, both for 24 months. Plus, once we make a deal at Kia Medford, we'll pay off your trade no matter how much you owe. Need credit? Go to KiaMedford.com to get pre-approved in less than 30 seconds with no effect on your credit score. Then find a Kia you really want, like new Fortes or Souls, just $139 a month. Don't miss the summer of savings going on right now at Kia Medford. Click KiaMedford.com.
Looking for a safe place to store your RV, trailer, or boat? Hardcastles offers a secure storage lot located conveniently on-site with a keypad entry. With spots filling up quickly, stop by today to reserve yours. While you're there, check out the fully stocked line of enclosed, dump, flatbed, and utility trailers. Hardcastles' friendly and experienced staff are always available to help you find what you need. Open weekdays 8:30 to 5, Saturdays 9 to 3. Hardcastles, where the customer is king.
Have your taxes gotten off track? Just call Zach, CPA at First Response Resolution. Visit firstresponseirs.com today to see what Zach can do for you. First Response Resolution in Eagle Point is your first response to the IRS, defending your rights as a taxpayer.
One size fits all doesn't work for pants, and it doesn't work for furniture shopping either. We all have different tastes, spaces, and budgets. That's why Garrison's now offers three distinct shopping experiences. Garrison's Home is our flagship store for no-compromise, design-focused furniture. Garrison's Express pumps up the value with a massive selection of take-it-today options. And Garrison's Outlet is home to big bargains and heavy discounts. So, whichever size fits best, we got your back. Garrison's.com.
106.3 KMED, and this is the Bill Myers Show.
7:34, running a little bit behind on the school on the show schedule, but that's the way it always seems to work here. But I want to make sure and get a few more calls in. And let's talk with Tim. Tim, you want to talk about possibilities? Let's hear you.
Yeah, I was just saying that driving around the county, I see one Biden sign to every 100 Trump signs. And I think if he was to come to this area, he'd see an awful lot of people come out of the woodwork.
Oh, I'm sure they would. I'm sure he would. I don't think you're going to see the Trump campaign make that happen, though, because of the money aspect of it, though, Tim. Nothing against us. I mean, we're great people down here. But he would probably believe that he's not in play. If it's not going to actually move an electoral needle, he's probably not going to, they're probably not going to bother doing that. That makes sense?
Yeah. It's so darn blue. I mean, I see that.
Yeah, well. The northern part of the state would end up being the controlling. Now, it's not saying that there couldn't be enough of a groundswell of dissatisfaction with the Democrats' choice, and it is a choice, not a not an elected choice. You know, we know that the way it's looking so far. But there would have to – if he thought that there was Oregon in play, then we would see we would see him here, I think, more often. But until that until there was some kind of change in the polling on that, that's a high lift. Okay, that's all I'm just saying.
Yeah,
all right,
I hear you.
Yeah,
I just know that there's a lot of support for Trump in this area.
Oh, and there absolutely would be. It would certainly be a rallying of the troops. It'd be nice to see. I just wouldn't want to get our hopes up too much realistically on that. Appreciate the call. Okay, let me go to Lauren. Lauren, on the school resource officer here, and I guess. I guess we're not going to talk about the one that got switched out at South Medford High School. You're talking about Eagle Point. Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't understand the Medford stuff, but out here, I've been working in a school part-time. And our SRO officer, he works a lot with the kids. He doesn't show up all the time. He's in and out. He goes to all the different schools.
Right.
But he talks with them. He talks to them about bicycle safety, helmets, about police policies, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
But the main thing, the other thing I wanted to mention was, whenever they were up for reassignment out here last year, well, it would be for this year, I worked closely with the police chief out here, but I did find out that they actually bid the job to the department. And whoever bids for it, then if they have the right criteria, et cetera, et cetera. And that impressed me in that it's not, at least out here that I know of, is not controlled by the superintendent of schools, but maybe they are. But that's my experience.
All right, yeah, because what I'm wondering is if – and maybe Officer Doney in South Medford did not feel welcome or whatever the case might be by the superintendent. But all I would add, though, is that it's the superintendent call too, right? I mean, that's
– Yeah, I guess so. I don't really know that.
Yeah,
that
we don't. We don't know this. But it does concern me that a lot of people are able to – we can express an opinion, but it would seem to me, though, that logically people cycle in and out of those jobs from time to time. Have you noticed that even in Eagle Point? Do they cycle in and out and change?
Well, the guy we had now has been here 2 or 3 years, and I've been working at the school for 7 years. And, there's been different SROs.
Exactly.
But he rebid it, and he got the job again, whereas someone else did bid for it, but that person didn't get the job. I don't know the answer to that one, but that was through the local chief. That's who made that decision.
All right. So. Very good. Hey, I appreciate the insight on what it's like in Eagle Point. All right. Thank you very much, Lauren. Let me go to Holly. Hello, Holly. Go ahead.
Oh, this is David.
Oh, David. All right, David. Hang on. I think I have Holly over here. I'll get to you, David, in just a second. Hi, Holly. Go ahead.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yep, I sure can. Yeah, I just pressed the wrong button. Sorry about that.
Not at all. Went to the school board meeting yesterday, and it was very interesting. What they're talking about is whether they should restrict some of these sexually explicit books in the school library. And there are still a lot of people that aren't comfortable with what they call banning books. Boy, that's just, you know, they're not comfortable with it. And then there are many others. And I think our school board electees are pretty good about saying, hey, we really don't want our kids exposed too early just to the seamy side of life. So that's what's going on. And citizens need to weigh in on that. Contact your school board members and weigh in, because a lot of them, I think they get nervous about really having strong opinions about things. They want to kick the can down the road. So now we're looking at a couple months from now when they have their next meeting, or a month.
You don't want a mealy-mouthed response to something like this, because when it comes right down to it, I think the protocol or the criteria that Grants Pass was talking about in this particular case was reasonable. We're not going to have tons and tons of violence. We're not going to do a lot of sexually explicit stuff. And, you know, just because the Island of Misfit Humans wants it out there, you know, for everybody, because they're not happy unless everybody turns trans, I swear. It's what it seems like sometime.
Well, here's the bottleneck, Bill. They have to go through the book, and apparently they buy 400 books a year or something. So now they're saying, well, you know, we have these people that have master's degrees in education, and they're choosing the books. Well, if you look at the books that are in the library, I would say that probably isn't working all that well. You know, there are a lot of books that get into the school library that are completely unacceptable to most parents. Now, you could put them in the general library, and if a parent or a kid's counselor thought maybe a kid would benefit from seeing something like that, you know, that they could find it at the main library. But I don't think it needs to be in the library. Kids are wandering.
Yeah, and it needs to be something that I think parents have to hold some sway in. And I know that the American Library Association's policy is that there's no age restriction on anything, which is absolute nonsense. Everything in culture has some age restrictions on it, many of the things, you know, that we allow. And
I don't think parents realize what's in some of those books. They you know, this is, you know, not Run, Dick, Run. This is, you know, Dick Does Dick. And people are really sick of that kind of thing.
And that's just it. And that's been the real agenda, to get everything sexualized into the school libraries. And I know one of the books that you were talking about, in fact, I had some printouts of one of those books. I forget the title of it, but it was about, you know, two gay teens, you know, and then they decide to, and just to be polite, because it's a family show, performing Lewinsky's on one another. And they're illustrating this in the books. And this is the sort of stuff that we have these educators with their master's degrees, and educators and librarians are thinking are perfectly appropriate for, you know, for all ages, just to be checking out. And it's like, you know, come on. Come on, just a few years ago, people would have been arrested for distributing child pornography or simulated child pornography on this kind of stuff here, Holly.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Thanks for the call. I appreciate the update on that. And let me go to David before we take off. Hey, David, fire away.
Hey, Bill. You know, the guy was talking about looking for bullets, the Trump assassination scene, you know. And I just want to bring something up just real briefly. You know, there's been so many analysts online talking about how impossibly improbable it is for someone to get that close to Trump without some high level of coordination, you know?
But also knowing which building to go to is the part that always kind of bothered me.
Yeah, so the question is, if somebody powerful enough to get a sniper within range of Trump, right? Mm-hmm. And let's say the person actually genuinely missed, right? Wouldn't it seem likely they would do it again here in the next few weeks? Like, try to, if they really wanted to kill him?
Yeah, if they did. Yeah, if they did.
Right.
Fortunately, President Trump is going to be inside from now on, no longer outside, which will make the environment a little easier to control. They made that choice.
Well, these are really powerful globalist forces. So the obvious question is, like, if they actually wanted him, if they didn't want him dead, what are the odds that the thing that hit his ear was actually a bullet, you know?
Could it have been something else? Some have theorized that it ends up being some glass from a broken screen or something else, or even perhaps even part of a bullet, you know, more of a ricochet.
Well, what about a very small, very, very small weaponized drone that's able to be precisely steered to scrape someone's face?
Well, that's a great theory. Great theory.
Well,
yeah, there are lots of probabilities. Lots of probabilities.
So I don't look online for my conspiracy theories. I just use logic because I'm like, listen, if somebody powerful enough, I think about, you know, New World Order globalists want Trump dead, right? That's the conspiracy theory. So if they got someone on a roof and he missed, they'll just do it again. So like the most probable scenario to me really is that, you know, I don't know. I just think a lot of things don't add up with the story. And it's like if they wanted him dead, whoever wants him dead and can pull off an operation like that, they will still do it because they're not going to say, oh, gosh, I guess we messed up. We'll just let him be president now, you know?
Unless you end up having the, you know, the type of medications that are well known that intelligence agencies have in which people have sudden heart attacks,
sure.
Things
either
like
way,
that.
Either way, I never attribute ineptitude, like this whole, oh, the Secret Service didn't see him. I mean, there was some level of coordination to get that guy on the roof. And if the guy was put up there as part of an operation and he missed, right, then they'll still kill him. Or if the intent was to make it seem as though he missed, then that's, you know, the clear narrative we have now that's been accepted. And like I say, Bill, I haven't read any, I've only seen a little bit of analysis online about how hard it would be to put that sniper where he ended up being, you know,
yeah.
It would be essentially impossible.
Yeah.
You know? Right.
Well,
so.
And it's something we're going to continue to maybe get a guest here now and then to discuss this further. But yeah, as long as we're spitballing, there are many possibilities. But the one thing for sure, they're not going to get a chance at an outside rally. That's not going to happen. All right. Thank you, David. State Senator Linthicum, join us for a talk here on Matters of Liberty 2 and running for Secretary of State. All coming up. News is sponsored by Millett Construction, specializing in foundation repair and replacement. 7:48, State Senator Dennis Linthicum joins the show via Skype. You over in Eastern Oregon right now here, Senator? Or are you out on the road someplace? What's the story? Welcome back.
Yeah, we are in Eastern Oregon. We've got a bunch of events at the end of this week where we'll be traveling around and visiting with folks and raising money. It's a big effort right now. What I'd like to do is plaster the I-5 corridor. That's where voters, most everybody here on the east side is already in my camp. They're very supportive and working hard and volunteers helping in a wide variety of areas. But the I-5 corridor, when you know, on the east side, the public may or may not realize this, on the east side from the Cascades to the Idaho border, there's four senators, which is, and it's two-thirds of the landmass of the state of Oregon. On the west side, between the Cascades and the coast, there are 26 senators. So if you wonder why in the world forest policy never goes the way that the eastern pine and juniper land policy should be managed, or why where the farmland should be managed out here in the in the eastern part of Oregon, why it never makes sense. It's because you've got 26 guys voting their understanding based on where they live in the wet and rainy, you know, areas of Oregon.
Yeah.
Southern Oregon, Medford, Jackson, Josephine, they're a little bit different. But, man, when you get up higher into the Eugene all the way to the Washington Washington border, it becomes a very different mindset. And to have those individuals voting on how we should hold our land, run our lives, et cetera, is entirely unconscionable, quite frankly.
You know, by the way, electdennis.com to support Dennis Linthicum's run for Secretary of State. It's going to be a high lift, and it's going to take money and contribution and volunteers here, too. And I think he would be a wonderful Secretary of State, especially when it comes to the audit power. We talked about the audit power here, too. But you were talking about how there are complicated things and simple things. And you actually had tuned in and were listening to some of the waxing poetics on the Trump assassination attempt of a couple of weeks ago here. And you were mentioning, and I guess this even applies to auditing, too, that a lot of times we ask the wrong question. right? Is that kind of where you were going?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Remember, the Secretary of State is the chief auditor for the state. And, you know, in this language, let me just substitute chief investigator, right? And to do an appropriate investigation, you have to ask the right questions. And that is the responsibility of the chief auditor. My contention is that the Democrat Party nominee for this position is the same old go along, get along. Several years here on your show, we've heard people say Biden's not really in charge. Someone else is running the presidency until Biden finally falls apart. And then everybody gets serious about who's in charge, who's running the presidency. How do we figure out who's pushing the buttons?
Right.
And that's been going on for 3 years to the well-informed, and people are finally waking up to this fact. I think Trump's actually this requires Republicans, conservatives, independents to come out in force and say, look, we don't like this. This is an anathema to the idea of self-governance. And now that self-governance model is the key. You were describing it earlier this morning, where the state keeps coming in and putting their mitts on things they have no right or authority to. And every time they do this, somebody, the lesser magistrate, needs to stand up and slap their hand and say, you cannot do that.
In fact, that is something that you, as Secretary of State, would have the ability to slap a hand more often. That never happens in Oregon. At least it doesn't seem that way.
No, it never happens in the state of Oregon. And this is fantastic pushback. Do you want to go along, get along guy? Or do you want somebody who's going to, actually do their job and do a proper investigation, even ask tough questions? For your listeners, you mentioned John Leakey's website, Courageous Discourse.
Yes.
And he had another article that I thought was quite poignant, short and sweet. One paragraph, essentially, that says, you know, we should quit saying, oh, good, Cheadle got fired or she retired or she quit, whatever. She's been in office long enough. She's got a great retirement package, even maybe a golden parachute. We'll never know.
Yeah, I can't help but think there's a couple of Bitcoins being slipped into a private account someplace that for carrying the water for a number of years. But who knows
how easy this is to accomplish. And people forget that the FBI created the entire debacle against Whitmer, and they conned these five men to go, hey, let's buy some dynamite. And then the FBI gives the guy $5,000 and say, here, you go buy the dynamite. And the guy goes, okay, where do I get dynamite? And he says, here's an address of a guy who could provide you with the dynamite. And they stage this entire, you know, kidnap scheme for Whitmer, all coming from FBI. And of the 9 or 10 people involved in that, five or six of them were FBI agents. And we didn't hold any of them accountable for trying to assassinate Whitmer. We only picked up the five individual, you know, cohorts who were part of the scheme. And so it's not hard to imagine that that this individual, you know, was, you know, conned into doing this by the FBI, the CIA, the intelligence community.
Yeah, you can't eliminate the FBI from this potential assassination, this assassination attempt, because it is documented several times they have been involved in finding, okay, let's go into the mosque and find the dumbest Islamist that we can certainly say, and let's direct them. I think that's what happened in Portland. Over in Portland, let's find the dimmest bulb, lowest IQ person that we can find in there, and get them ready to do a terrorist attack. Then there's the Garland, Texas attack that John Leakey was writing about that we've all forgotten about, Dennis. We've all forgotten about this senator, you know.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, yeah. And the security guard ends up, you know, the FBI agent is following the two shooters into that convention center. And it was only the guard that stopped anything bad from happening. Right. And he ends up getting injured and he tries to sue the FBI. And then you have sovereign immunity, which was the court said, hey, FBI is not responsible to this, even though they, you know, recruited the terrorists, you know, and got the terrorists all wound up to go out and do a shooting. Right. How can we not, when we know these things have been documented, in fact, right out there in the open or brought out into the open? How can you believe anything about the potential of how that assassination attempt went off? We don't know at this point, and no one's asking that kind of a question.
That's exactly right. And the other thing that, with regard to the overwhelming administrative bureaucracy and its incompetency, Leakey in a different article describes what if a pilots, you know, fuel loaders, whatever you call, you know, those people on an airport tarmac, fill an airplane bound for Honolulu with only enough jet fuel to get halfway. And they did this, quote, purposely. So the plane gets halfway to Honolulu, ditches in the Pacific, all on board are lost. The, you know, debris from the plane, they, let's say they locate it, they pull up a black box, it doesn't matter what it is. And then there's accountability hearings, and they all show up and they all get they all give their testimony, and apparently the plane was fueled only with half the portion of fuel required because of human error, period, end of sentence. And even the, you know, the chief executive officer for the airline retires. He's got a fine package. He goes off into the sunset. Nobody's held accountable. It was just human error. Oops, just a tragic mistake.
And by the way, things like that have happened. There have been times in which they've loaded airplanes up with, calculating in pounds rather than kilograms, or kilograms rather than pounds, depending on, you know, where it was. It's happened. That's been for real.
And yet, if it were, quote, purposeful, there's no way to determine what evil looks like. You cannot decide, yep, they wanted this plane to go down, other than, you know, we saw, you know, during the Clinton era, some, I can't remember the name of the individual, somebody, you know, was in a plane crash.
You're talking about the Ron Brown shooting.
Yeah.
In which Ron Brown, his plane crashes and then he's found with a bullet in the back of the head, or a hole in the back of the skull, right?
Right, right. Mm-hmm. A conveniently placed hole. I mean, you know, so the deep state is a problem. And what the public has to get through their mind is, we want true accountability, not fake accountability. We want real investigations. And we want to get, we want to lessen government influence and intervention in our private lives. This is where the liberty mind can really play a great game, because we can win every time. Look at, we've got 100 million lives lost to communism. We've got 100 and some odd years of communist failure all across the globe. The kids today who have been enamored with socialism are being sold a salad of words that all sound good but don't work in the real world. DEI doesn't work in the real world. DEI is a destructive policy. And we have to get back to people performing to the best of their ability, with their sharpest wits about them, and moving forward on a strategy to take us where we want to go.
And you know something here, Senator? There is nothing that would please me more than to see you be the Secretary of State and to have Will Lathrop as the Attorney General. Could you imagine a 1-2 punch of actual common sense people being involved in a couple of high statewide offices that have been run by essentially leftist hacks for decades now, really?
Yeah, they're high-minded, you know, immoral leftists, what do you call them, progressives.
Mm-hmm. Well, they call themselves progressive, but I don't know what they're progressing towards other than nonsensicalness, but yeah, that's another story.
Right, and think of the trio. Get accurate numbers from the treasurer, Senator Boquist.
Oh, yeah, Boquist. I forgot about Boquist, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Get investigations from Linthicum, Secretary of State, and get Lathrop to pursue and prosecute as Attorney General. What a trio. It would be fabulous.
Yeah, to actually, have the law actually matter again, have elections actually be fair and honest, and to also have the audit power on the state agencies. Of course, I imagine they'd be scared of all of these. All of these Republicans here, the monster, the administrative monster in the state of Oregon, I would imagine is very scared, would be very frightened by something like this happening, which is why we need to make it happen. They are binary choices, right? They're binary choices, just like President Trump here, I would dare say here, Senator, because whether you love Trump, or you don't like Trump or whatever it is, there is a binary choice here. It really is. RFK is not really in play. Let's be honest about this. It is a binary choice. They're not perfect choices, but they are binary. And they are real choices this time around. I would dare say there's a real difference between what a President Trump would say versus how a President Kamala Harris would end up approaching an issue here, just like it is here in the state of Oregon.
Well, yeah. So if you like the economy, here's the question. If Kamala is not sufficiently able to, run the country, quote unquote, because of her, missing skill set, her inability to travel on the global stage and engage with dictators around the world or hard-nosed adversaries around the world, whatever you want to label those people as. The question will be, who's running the show? Who, on her first day in office, who's writing the 110 executive orders that she's going to sign? They're writing those today, and it's going to be the same old, same old. And your conversation with on a call way earlier in the morning with Governor Inslee and, 12 years of office holding by the Democrat machine, that's not a bad stake to drive into the ground. We don't want, 4 years or 8 years. We want 12 or 20. Mm-hmm. And then and we're in a tough spot. So we have to move away from this deep state. We have to move towards individual freedom and liberty. We have to move from allowing government to set up and engineer monopoly interests that make money like crazy. Of course, all the chamber of commerces across the U.S. love the deep state because that's where they get all their money. That's where they make an influence. That's where they continue to operate.
And those same chambers also recycle that into campaign donations for their favorite. So conversation there is a great place to wrap this up here, Senator. ElectDennis.com. He is running for Secretary of State. Very important, key. And last time we had a Republican as Secretary of State was the late Dennis Richardson. And let's replace that with another Dennis. And this time, Dennis Linthicum, electdennis.com. And contributions are needed. Volunteers are needed here, too. And it's time to buckle down on that one. And, Senator, we'll talk again. And thank you so much. Be well.
You bet. It's always great to come on the radio and share these thoughts. I get texts after we talk essentially all day long, people saying what I should have said or what I didn't say right or whatever. And I'm open to everybody, pitching in and providing insight or advice. Mm-hmm. It's great.
Yeah. Providing money and campaign support would be more helpful even right now. OK,
well, yeah.
All right.
You're right. ElectDennis.com. There's a donate page there, and all your contributions are deeply appreciated.
Thank you, Dennis. We'll see you then. All right.
Bye-bye.